Welcome to the One Right Church podcast, where we will discuss what it's like to believe that you attend the only right church. My name is Mark Shaw, and I spent the first 45 years of my life in the Followers of Christ Church in Oregon City, believing I was in the One Right Church. Our hope is that by simply sharing our story, that we would urge people to look to the Bible for answers instead of their religious traditions. We want to encourage people to trust in Jesus for their salvation and not in attending the One Right Church. Let's get started. Well, welcome back, Scott.
Well, thank you, Mark. I miss you during the summer. We're not seeing each other every week, and we're doing that because you're having a hard time seeing each other every week. So anyway, it's good to sit down and talk again today.
Yeah, things are busy. Cindy and I just got back from Johnny and Friends family retreat. We've talked about that on here before, but it did get me thinking while I was there. I was thinking, I want to talk about this on the podcast when we get back. So there was just so much time spent at the retreat in prayer, and it got me thinking about how different prayer is to me now than it used to be.
Okay. And
so we'd start every morning with prayer. We would pray over the families who were going to be attending, the volunteers who were going to be there, the weather. There's a lot of activities. People would pray that we'd have good weather because dry horses are funner to ride than wet horses and things like that. So, and we did get good weather.
Understanding. Yeah, I understand that.
But in one of the prayer sessions, I guess, in the morning, one of the person that was facilitating that conversation quoted Corrie Ten Boom, and she asked the question, is prayer your steering wheel or is it your spare tire? And it kind of got me a little bit. Like, I think I've been very guilty for most of my life, including today. I don't mean only at Followers. I mean all the time. I think I try to work things out on my own, and then I'll treat God like a spare tire. Like, I'll just reach out to him when I need him, but otherwise I've got everything under control. And
well, I think that's real common, and we're working at church to change that.
Right.
You know, we're talking about praying first, at least for the summer, and trying to make prayer more of a steering wheel idea in everybody's life, not just yours or mine. So,
yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I do hope it's your steering wheel.
Yeah, it's been helpful. I just think that's a bad place to be when you think you can handle everything and then you'll enlist God's help if you need it. I don't think that's reality, probably.
So. Well, I mean, it does say, doesn't it, like, who's in the driver's seat?
Right.
If you're driving your life, then you want to have God comfortably as a spare tire. If he's driving your life, then you'll just pray about how he drives it.
Yeah,
you
know? And that's absolutely.
That's more the steering wheel.
Yeah, yeah. So the other part of that is that puts me in a place where if I'm doing that wrong, if I'm treating God like the spare tire or prayer like the spare tire, then that just ends up just being me asking God for things. It doesn't usually end up being any more than that. Maybe thanking him when I get something good, you know, but I just think that prayer is so much more than that. And so that's kind of what I wanted to talk about today.
Okay. So, how is prayer so much more than that?
Yeah. So I was thinking about what is the actual purpose of prayer, and the first thing I thought of was that it is a way that we can have relationship with God, or depending on how you look at that, we can pray because we have relationship with God. So, I think that's probably the first thing to talk about is this is a way we can. We can talk to God. We can thank him for who he is. We can acknowledge who he is, and then of course asking for things, his help in everyday life. And but I think the important difference to me now, is that I always thought that I had to have my end all figured out before I could have this relationship with God, and that he wouldn't even hear me unless I said my prayer just right, that I had enough faith. Another thing that flavored that a little bit is we didn't do medical care, so we would hear things all the time like, your prayers will not, God won't hear you from the hospital. And so it just, as ridiculous as that sounds, it can shape a little bit of the way you think of how God's able to hear you. It makes it feel more like you have to be in the right place, say the right things, and then have enough faith to get your prayer to God. And it really becomes all about you again at that point. So not much of a relationship.
Well, I mean, somebody said that, prayer is to your relationship with God what conversation is to your marriage. Mm-hmm. And it's just a very simple relational thing. And you think about Jesus. Jesus was all about doing what his Father wanted. Mm-hmm. And what I see my Father do, that's what I do. He said over and over. And he regularly spent time alone with mm-hmm. God in prayer.
Yeah.
And he did it early in the morning. He did it out loud. He did it routinely at on the Mount of Olives, where so much so that Judas knew that, this is where Jesus goes to pray. Let's find him there.
Mm-hmm.
And but Jesus didn't do it because he had his act together.
Right.
He did it because he wanted to commune with his Father.
Right.
And get his will lined up with his Father. And it was just completely a relational thing, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. One of the scriptures that I liked and looked up about this was it's in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, "And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." So it's about his will. It's not about how you put the words together or what my will was. It's, are you asking according to his will? And he promises to hear us when we do. So that one was, there are others. Jeremiah says, the Lord tells Jeremiah, call to me and I will answer you. I think I always just wondered, like, is he hearing me? And if I don't feel like he is, what am I doing wrong that I need to fix on my end so that he will? And it was just,
The pressure was all on you.
The pressure was all on me, yeah.
Well, that seems to me that's why you pray,
right.
Is because you want some help with the pressure.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing.
Exactly.
We had a fun time. I took Monday off, and it was our anniversary, and we went out of town, and then on our way home, we went for a hike. Well, we meant to go for a hike. We drove in, the parking lot was full.
Yeah.
So we explored, like, maybe we can park over here. There was no parking. Then we went back, and it's still full. And then we drove where they said to park, and it was like double the distance of the entire hike away to the start of the trail and then to the hike. And it's like, this never do. And so we turned around and said, okay, if we got a place this time, we'll do it. If not, we'll go find something else.
Right.
And we got in, and one spot was open. Pulled in, had a beautiful hike, really nice time together.
Yeah.
And we're on our way back to the car, and Marcia said, I said, I can't believe, I said this, right?
Yeah.
So I'm the spiritual one, of course. I said, I can't believe we got a parking spot. And she said, while we were on our way in this last time, she said, I prayed the Lord, if you want us to have this time together, would you open a spot? And I prayed before we pulled in, and there was a spot.
Yeah.
And I like hit my forehead like, yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Right.
But I mean, that's the kind of thing, call to me and I'll enter you. And it's, ask anything as according to his will, he'll hear us. It is this, Lord, I want to walk with you today.
Yeah.
And I want to be with you today.
Yeah.
And that kind of a conversation is the one that we're trying to cultivate when we pray.
Yeah.
James 4:8, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. That's all it is.
Yeah.
It's not magic.
Right.
It's not magic.
Right.
It's drawing near to God.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, that's what I put in some of my notes here later, that it's not magic. And that's what, that's how a magic spell works in the movies anyway, right? They have to get the words all just right, and they have to have all the right ingredients or whatever it is, and then the spell will work.
I wish we were on video so people could see you waving your wand.
Oh, yeah.
Someday, but then you got to pay more for it if you got to get Mark on video.
Yeah. I can laugh about it now, but it really was what it felt like, was you're just trying to get everything right on your end so God will hear your prayer. And there's better news than that, I guess, is what I want to share. It's not that way. Think there are more. Yeah, go
can
ahead.
Can I say one other thing just about it being good news? Namely, that the thing that guarantees a hearing is not that we have all the right words or anything, but rather it's the fact that Jesus is our great high priest.
Right.
And the scripture tells us just really clearly that, this is what it says, since we have a great high priest who's passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we might receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Yeah. Our invitation is to come because Jesus is the one who made the way for us to come.
Yeah.
And our confidence really when we come is in Jesus, not in getting the words right, not in asking for the right things even. I mean, there's nothing. We with confidence draw near the throne of grace. And in the part that's not written there in your Bible is, because you have all the right things to ask for, or because you have it all nailed down, you draw near with confidence because you have a great high priest.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that is what makes it good news. I've learned a lot about different ways of praying too. And what I mean by that is not just always just coming to God asking for things, but there's also just spending time thanking him for not just for what he's done for you, but for who he is, not just for things he's given you or allowed you to have, but just who he is, that he's able to provide. He's able to hear our prayers and to answer them. And you're asking, no matter what you ask, you're asking the one who is able to answer. And I just think that's important to acknowledge who God is. And it puts you in more of a place of humility, I think, instead of, okay, I've got all my stuff figured out. Now I'm going to ask for this and I'm going to expect it. It's more of a, because of who you are, I'm coming and asking you because you're the only one who can help me with this. Okay.
So you're saying that you're thanking him before you get your stuff? Before he says, is that what you're tricking
yes.
at?
Yes.
Okay.
That's part of it. I'm thanking him for who he is first. I'm acknowledging who he is. I'm thanking him for sending his son. That's not before I've gotten, right. But
as you're praying, you're doing that. So
yeah.
Even if you don't get, what you came to ask for,
right.
You're still going to have a attitude or a direction of thanksgiving in your prayers.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to understand.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that wasn't always the case for me.
Okay.
For sure. And so I think that's a good thing. Philippians 4:6-7 say, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I think coming to him, instead of being anxious about things, coming to him with this attitude of thankfulness, thanksgiving, it says, I think that peace of God that surpasses all understanding is because whether I get what I'm asking for or not, I'm thankful for even the opportunity to bring these things to you. And that does come with a peace that does surpass understanding.
It is interesting that it inserts that little phrase with thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Because it would make total sense if it left it out.
Yeah.
Everything by prayer and supplication, let your request be known to God. That's how I would write it. But
yeah,
apparently thanksgiving is more important than I would let on. So
yeah. Yeah. And there's an Old Testament example of that too, or Psalm 100 is titled a psalm for giving thanks. And it says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. That's worth being thankful for. And then there's more, another type of prayer is like prayer of confession or repentance. And I think that's been another change in my life, is instead of just hoping people don't find out, or, you know, just trying to keep anything a secret. Because if you think you've got to have your act together before your prayers will work, then when you don't have your act together, it's a pretty hopeless feeling. Oh. So it's really good news to read things like 1 John 1:9 that says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's confessing to God those sins. There are other places where it talks about confessing your sins to others as well, but just, I think that was just eye-opening for me to know that because of the work of Jesus and the blood of Jesus and the forgiveness that you get through that, that you can confess that sin to God, and it's not going to change his love for you. And that was something that I didn't understand.
Some of the confession is based on his love for you.
Right.
I mean, I think about like Psalm 51. It says, a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. In other words, David messed up in a big, big way and had minus reason to expect God would hear him. Right.
Right. I mean, right.
And Psalm 51 starts this way. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love.
Yeah.
So basing the prayer on who God is, not on who I am and what I've done. According to your abundant mercy, then he asks, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. Mm. And he goes on. The whole psalm is that way. It's the psalm of confession and repentance, which is essentially he's just talking to God about how he's messed up.
Yeah. Yeah, and I love that it's, his hope is not in his performance. His hope is in the steadfast love and faithfulness of God. And that's, I think, shown the most clearly in Jesus, for sure.
Oh,
for
definitely.
And then the other one, which I think was, I would say, the most common where I came from, was the petition and intercession. Even, you know, it was very common for us to be praying for others who were sick, and you know that we didn't, like you said, didn't do medical care, but this was part of our tradition. It would be part of the church service. Even they would come out and you would call someone and could you please announce that we would like prayers today, or this person would like prayer, and the church as a whole would pray for them during the service, silent prayer, but and so we did do that. I still think that I didn't have a good understanding even of that, because I didn't know what to do with the fact that some people didn't get better. Like, what is our prayer working? What's happening? Why isn't it working? I had all these questions, and it was all, again, around me. Am I doing something wrong?
What can I do to make it work?
Right. What can we do different? God's not hearing us because we're doing this wrong or we're doing that wrong or something like that.
We're mixing our prayer potion not quite right.
I mean, exactly.
In some respect. And I, you know, you think about this, I mean, really all religious traditions pray.
Yeah.
And whether it's in Islam or in Judaism or Christianity, I mean, prayer is part of it. And, you know, again, I want to point out that the hope of Christian prayer is that Jesus is your great high priest.
Right.
And that he is making intercession for us at God's right hand, and that the Holy Spirit is making intercession for us. And so, I mean, I think those two things happen because God doesn't expect we'll get it right.
Right.
I mean, God expects us to stumble into his presence and do our best, you know, and it may not be good enough. And that's, he builds in this, we're gonna make sure that you keep coming, and we're going to make sure that you keep talking, and we're going to intercede, we're going to translate more or less what you meant to say so that it's right, you know?
Right. Yeah, that's good. The other thing that I would make a mistake on comes from James 5, and this is part of the petition and intercession, but it says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. I think the King James said, availeth much. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I never knew what to do with that. I never knew if someone, that led me more to believe that if someone wasn't healed, I wasn't righteous. If it was because if I was more righteous, my prayer would have healed them. It's all about me again. See, and so what is that saying? The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working.
Are you asking? I'm asking right now.
Yeah. How do we?
Well, it.
I mean, I had it wrong. How do I have that right?
The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it's working because God has great power.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm doing when I'm praying, is I'm asking God to do for me what I can't do for myself. Yeah. In other words, it's a recognition of my lack of power and my, you know, petition or my request that God act in power on my behalf or behalf of somebody else.
Yeah.
And that's where the power comes from, is in the person of God, not in my righteousness. That's the wrong way to read the sentence.
Right.
The prayer of a righteous person, you know, like a righteous person who's a 32 on a scale of 100 isn't going to get much prayer, but somebody who's a 67 on a scale of 100, they're going to get more prayers answered.
Right.
That is totally not the right way to think about it.
Yeah.
It's an invitation to pray.
Yeah.
And an invitation to pray based on the power of God that is available to people who will ask him for it.
Mm. Yeah, that's good. And then one of the things, as I was looking up some verses for today, I found Philippians 1, 3 and 4, and Paul writes, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all. For you all, making my prayer with joy. And I remember reading that, and he says similar things to in other letters, and I just think I took so many things for granted for so long that I don't I don't pray in thankfulness as often as Paul says he does here for the people around me, for the for the church, for the people that God has put in our lives. I think we can. I won't lump you in with it, but I take things for granted. I don't do this often enough, I think. I just think that's a good reminder to, pray for, be thankful to God for the people that he's put in your life.
Yeah, and hopefully this whole episode is a reminder to pray. I mean, in the letter to the Thessalonians, it says, pray without ceasing.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
And so it's just a matter of, we just need to be reminded. I mean, that's how I am. I need to be reminded.
Yeah.
I need to be reminded to wake up, so I set an alarm. I need to be reminded to pray, so yeah. I have things around me that remind me to pray first.
And yeah.
I think that's, I hope this is a reminder for everybody to pray more than you did and trust that the power is of God and not of you.
Yeah. Yeah. There was one thing that stood out to me when we did a thing at Johnny and Friends camp before the families all arrived. The volunteers have gone through all their training, and now we've got some time before the families get here. And we did something called the Blessing of the Hands, and we do it every year. And it's basically everybody just lines up and comes up, and how can we pray for you today to start this? And they would just tell you what they're concerned about for the week. I'm nervous about, am I going to do a good job for my camper that I'm going to have? And it was so amazing to just hear the humility and just wanting others to pray for them, to intercede for them, you know, go to God for them. And it was common to hear a prayer that would sound something like, Lord, I need your help. I can't do this on my own. Please show your strength where I am weak. Forgive me when I do try to do things on my own. And others would say, Lord, I just want to serve this week in a way that points people to you, in a way that you would be glorified. And I just never prayed like that when before it was just all about, Lord, I need something from you.
Right.
You know, and it was a lot of times something tangible or something, not always, but it's just a different way. I just didn't pray with the humility, I guess.
Just think about that for a second, okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if you ever think about what motivates God, mm-hmm. but, I mean, what's going to motivate him to answer your prayer?
Right.
That you're going to be like a heavy little camper because you get your stuff?
Right.
Or if your prayer is aimed at his will being accomplished, what he wants done being accomplished, if your prayer is aimed at him being, glorified and him looking good.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it sounds selfish to people, but I think that God's going to be, in some respect, you might even say self-interested in the very best way, because he is glorious and his will is perfect. And so for his will to be done and his glory to shine is the very best thing ever. So he's not, it's not bad for him to wish that. But when we ask him for the very things that he wants done in this world and to do it for the sake of his reputation, I think that generally he is motivated to answer that prayer. Scripture says that throughout, and I'd be happy to look at verses on that. But anyway, I think that that's the orientation. You said humility, but the orientation of our prayer as a reflection of God's priorities rather than of my own priorities is going to be one of the things that's really a rich upgrade to most of our prayers, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah, It's back to one of the first things you said is who's driving your car? Are you driving or is God driving? And that's good. Well, one of the hymns that we would sing was called Sweet Hour of Prayer. And again, I sang it all the time and had no idea what it was really meaning. And So I hope that people will think about this the next time they sing this song. But it says, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. And sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. And I just think that it would be so good if people didn't get anything else from singing this song, if they got that line, that he bids you to seek his face, believe his word, and trust his grace, then that I would consider that a win.
That's what makes a good prayer.
Yeah.
That's what makes a good prayer. Yeah.
Yep. All right. Well, thanks, Scott.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Well, hopefully this has been helpful. If you have questions or comments or a topic that you would like us to cover, you can reach us at comments@onerightchurch.com. And for more information, you can visit our website, www.onerightchurch.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.